I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for. The sports you love.
We're not going anywhere. We ride here.
With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on 97.5 1280 The Zone. Powered by KSLSports.com.
All right, everybody, welcome back. It's Unrivaled, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Thanks for being with us. I'm looking at the screen here. We talked last hour a little bit about how Colin Kaepernick's going to be working out with the Raiders. First scheduled workout with an NFL team since 2017. I just wonder if you'd be able to physically... I mean, how old is Kaepernick now? I mean...
Somewhere in his 30s. Is he 34?
Early 30s? Or?
I think he's 34.
34. Yeah, 34. That's, well, what you tell me, Scott. I mean, Tom Brady kind of bucks the trend when it comes to this. But
well, quarterbacks today are playing into their 40s if they're pretty good. So.
Well, Andy hasn't had the.
He might have seven, eight more. Well,
right.
Seven, 8 more years.
He hasn't had he hasn't had the wear and tear that a lot of these guys do. So maybe he's there. Maybe he's feeling a little bit better. Maybe he's at the peak condition of what he's been in his pro career before. I don't know. I'd like to see what he can do. And my heavens, I mean, the Raiders have had Nate Peterman on their roster before. Okay,
Mr. Peterman.
I think that they're okay. Like looking around and finding somebody who's even got some version of talent. I mean, some of these teams they keep the third quarterback. Some don't, but some keep that third quarterback, and that might be him. Who knows? Who are the Raiders quarterbacks they have right now? So we're talking
Derek Carr,
obviously.
And Derek Carr.
But they don't have a backup right now? They got to have somebody. Look it up. Look into it. Let's get our people on this. In the meantime, let's jump into the first portion of the program as we always do. It's the cut right here at the top of the show.
There we go.
The other question. Undeniable. Unrivaled. Top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
Ain't nothing like it.
All right, the cut brought to you by University of Utah Health. At University of Utah Health, you get the same great care that the Utes, RSL, and the Jazz all trust. Go to uofuhealth.org. That's uofuhealth.org. Nick Mullins, is he back? Stidham also signed up, yes. All right, so you got Nick Mullins. Jared Stidham.
So they got Derek Carr, basically. What you say?
Quit it. There's a handful of Nate Petermans coming in. But if Colin Kaepernick.
Mr. Peterman?
Now, here's the thing. I don't know. What do you think? Do you think he'll make it?
Kaepernick?
Kaepernick. You think he'll be a guy in the league?
I don't know.
I just have no idea what he throws like anymore. All right. Scott, first thing first here. The NBA is considering, of course, that in-season tournament. They've been talking about it. But we're talking about next year, not this coming season, but the year after.
How does the NBA...
But they said the 2023-2024 season.
How does the NBA start an in-season tournament when all the complaint is load management, there's already playing too many games, the postseason lasts forever, you got all kinds of guys injured right and left right now?
The idea is, could you work in 82 games for the TV deal and not have – and make it a 70-game regular season, mid-season tournament, puts you at 82 games, and you've fulfilled your TV obligations?
So you're having a tournament that will take away from some of the games.
No. It's not take away. It'll take the overall.
You're still going to have 82 games.
82 games. So load management will still be there.
They're going to take the front end of the season.
Right.
And what's the incentive? Like, is it just to garner more interest?
No, yes, it is. Yes.
And they get what for this tournament?
You
get like a mini NBA championship trophy?
Yeah, I think there's some sort of midseason whatever. But the idea would be bag the All-Star game, right? Bag the All-Star game, have an actual midseason tournament that meant something. So
they
the
should
games would bag
the All-Star tournament in every sport in America, except for one, baseball.
Baseball?
Yeah.
Hockey, I guess they love theirs too. I guess the hockey All-Star game, it's pretty well beloved. But you're right. The Pro Bowl is garbage.
You can't tank it on the ice, though.
Right.
Like you just, it's like once you start skating, you just move.
Right.
Like
and there's, it's hard to tell those guys to take her easy anyway.
Yeah.
But think about where we're at when we come to our sports and what we like to watch and the All-Star games. Baseball All-Star game, the home run derby, that's always kind of a fun thing. Even the dunk contest has turned into absolute garbage in the NBA.
Yeah.
The three-point contest, don't care. The actual game itself, no one cares.
I like the three-point contest.
Cat won it this year. That's why. It was kind of fun to watch a big man win it. But the All-Star game itself is garbage. The Pro Bowl is garbage. These are games that don't matter at all.
Yeah, Pro Bowl's just awful.
And so the NBA and the NFL both have to consider something to make it to where your fan base can be excited about some extra football or some extra basketball. And in the NBA's case, if you're going to split the season in half, have a mid-season tournament, you have to take regular season games off the table. I know you want your TV deal still, so make sure that those still happen. Make sure that that TV obligation is still met. Is everybody going to be playing?
What if you did that tournament? Let's just say you did the NBA mid-season tournament. And what that tournament did is it reseeded everyone after the tournament. Because what's happening is teams aren't really trying. You got load management. You're doing this. You're doing that. Whatever. So you have this little tournament, and it just kind of reseeds all of the teams.
Yeah. How do you do it? Because at that point, let's say you're partway through the season, you have 40 games in. You're 35 games in, and you're 26-9, and then you come out of that tournament. You lose that midseason tournament. Then what? Are you reseeded again already? And you're actually lower?
Yeah.
I don't know how it would work. Because we just base so many things off of that games back type of a deal.
Well, I know, but here's the thing. So many teams are just mailing it in early on in the season. Everyone's just like, we don't really care about things. We're just going to get into the playoffs. And this is an opportunity for teams to kind of make a move or to try to force teams not to be so much of a bunch of sandbaggers, because what we want is we want the purest competition we can possibly get all the time. We don't want people faking it. We don't want people going through the motions. We want people trying their hardest, regardless of whether they win or lose or if they're in first place or last place. We want competition. We want to see people try hard, and we want to see good games. We don't want to see this. We just don't want to see blowouts. We don't want to see people not having that effort. So incentivize the teams to play hard. That's all I'm saying. And I think you can do it in the NFL too.
Well, part of it is too. The other part of it is that you've got in the NBA, these complaints come up about a midseason tournament that makes it more exciting because the NBA All-Star game is garbage. And Adam Silver wants a tournament. He is like dead set on having a midseason tournament. Okay, so he wants to have it. But the NBA also suffers from these games in the offseason. Everybody's noticed there have been so many blowouts. There have been so many bad basketball games, including last night. unwatchable after the second quarter, midway through the second quarter. And all I could think was, is Golden State's resting. They don't care. They know they're going to win this series. They know this thing's going to go back to it's going to go back to Golden State, and they're going to have to watch, or you know, maybe they just wanted to win game five at home. Fine. But that game was absolutely worthless last night.
I wonder if you're the Warriors. I wonder if you go, okay, we're up 3-0. We're going to beat these guys. But look at what's happened in the Eastern Conference. They're all tied. So they're probably going to go seven games. And what does seven games look like? Is it another week? Right? Pretty much is about
10 days.
Yeah. 10 days,
whatever. They'll do like every other game, basically. Yeah.
So now you're like, okay, well, we don't want to sit and just kind of rest forever. We're the kind of team that needs to be playing. So let's extend our series out. So instead of having 10 days off waiting for our next opponent, maybe it's seven. Maybe it's 5 games or 5 days, so we're not so rusty going into the finals. So maybe the most of these teams try to tank so they can get a lottery pick. Maybe Golden State's tanking so they can, like, win a championship.
Now, here's the thing. Now, this sounds a little bit familiar because we were chatting about this. I've been thinking about ways to get the NFL to figure itself out, too, because the Pro Bowl is absolute garbage, and they've been considering just throwing it out totally. We talked about this a little
bit. Which they should.
Yesterday. Every option is on the table. Well, let me give you a wild option that's on the table. If you actually got the – if you actually looked at the NFL and said, okay, how can we improve this thing? In the NFL, they don't have a lottery. They just straight up have, if you're the worst team in the league, you have the first draft pick.
Right.
And so it incentivizes teams, once they get in that kind of bottom last four or five teams in the league, they just basically are all fighting to get that first draft pick.
And you'll see a team that's like has one win all season, and then they try really hard that last game and they get 2 wins. And it bumps them out of that first pick.
Right, and then their owner's like, going, what are you
what
doing?
What are you doing?
Why are we doing this? Of course, it's way more worth it, right? And so the NFL has the same problem with its All-Star game, its Pro Bowl, right? No one cares about the Pro Bowl. No one watches the Pro Bowl anymore. The numbers bear out that even though you try to jam it between the 2 weeks of when you're waiting for the Super Bowl, you don't watch it. I don't watch it. I am insane about football in my house. My kid is worse than I am in terms of trying to figure out a way he can watch as much football as possible, and he does not watch it. That's the litmus test. My 13-year-old, who the only thing he worries about in life is football and whether or not he can see an NFL game on TV, and the Pro Bowl is, like, not watchable for him. So there's how you take the temperature. Your fan base doesn't want this game.
Yeah.
How do you do it? Well, we want to see more NFL games that matter, too. And this is not a midseason tournament. You know what this is? This is a playoffs inside of the playoffs. Now, that's not true. You have the teams that are in the playoffs that are actually battling to get to the Super Bowl. Then you have the four teams at the very bottom of the league who are actually now trying to win games to get that first draft pick. Okay? You're the worst team in the league. Now you've got to win to be able to get to. Now you've got to win. So what it is the 4 seed plays the 1 seed. The 1 seed's the worst team, right? Wait, is that right?
Yeah.
Does that make sense? So if you're the 1 seed, it's the reverse 1 seed. Yeah.
It's the old biblical term.
Right.
Those that are last shall be first.
Okay. Yeah. So your fake 1 seed, your worst 1 seed, if you're the 4 seed, you're the best of the worst teams. 2nd seed, 3rd seed play each other there. Right. Those games get played. And then the quote-unquote draft championship, that first draft pick championship game gets played the week between the Super Bowl. And so what it is you might think to yourself, I don't want to see the Jaguars and the Jets. Oh, yes, you do, because there's something on the line. And these guys are playing to beat one another to actually try to get that first draft pick. And you can imagine. And here's what you do, too, Scott. Oh, I love it. Here's what you do, too. You invite guys to this game that are some of the top prospects in college football.
They present the trophy.
They're there, and there's like
they're doing the coin flip.
Right. You have guys that are going to be in the green room at the draft 2 months later, 3 months later, and you have them there at the game, and all you're doing is showing them on the sideline. And they're going like this, oh, dang.
They're playing for me.
Oh, they're pulling for the – they're praying that the Jets win so they don't have to go to Jacksonville. They're praying that that the Colts can win that thing because they, you know, their grandma lives in Indianapolis. They'd love to play for that team.
So you have the playoffs, and then you have all the teams that are out of the playoffs. So they're the playouts. It's the playout series at the end of the season.
They said anything's on the table, and so we're coming up with something.
Well, I think there's a feeling in the NFL like, yeah, let's tank. You know what? It's a great strategy.
And you could tank to get there, but then you'd have to win two games to get that first pick.
You have to win the right to be bad.
Yes,
to get that first pick. And I think this fans they want to see competitive games. They really do. And that week between championship and the Super Bowl, that's just the saddest week of all. That's just a cruel week. And the Pro Bowl, there's been nothing they've been able to plug in. No, but you put a real game, you put a real series in there, and that has some meaning to it. That has a lot of meaning to it, and it eliminates this whole perception of tanking, the whole thing that you know management has encouraged. Teams and coaches, you know, you hear Brian Flores and you hear about Hugh Jackson and so this just eliminates it, but it also eliminates a really bad Pro Bowl game and it gives the fans something to watch that has something on the line. It's brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
No one will ever listen to us. But that's fine. I don't know.
If you just want to add
an 18th game, fine. But the players are going to have an issue with playing that 18th game. Now, here's the other thing: if you're on the bottom edge of those garbage teams that are playing to get in, you're in the playouts, and you're trying to get that number one draft pick. You get paid extra to play in these games. The playoff payouts for these teams are what? If you go to the playoffs, you go to the first round of the playoffs. What do you get? I can't remember what the number was. Did you get a bonus when you went to the playoffs?
Some guys do, yeah.
Yeah, and it's like it's a pretty prescribed thing now, I think.
Yeah.
And so it's like you get $75,000, you get $150,000 the night, you know, if you win the divisional round, you know, and then you get $200,000 when you win the conference championship, and then if you win the Super Bowl, you get another $250,000, whatever. The playout games, give those guys on those rosters $50,000 apiece. The whole thing is they want to make this thing interesting for TV, and you might say to yourself, nah, I don't want to see those games. Yes, you do. If there is – oh, here's an even better thing. Scott, hold the phone.
Hang up.
Gosh dang it. See, this is good brainstorming while we're doing this. Okay? The games – it's not that important. Okay? It's not that important for the drum roll. But what are we used to now? I've been begging for a Friday game. We get Thursday games already.
Right.
The playoffs bring us Saturday games.
Yes.
So give me a Thursday, Friday for your first two playout games.
Right.
For the first two rounds of the actual playoffs, too.
Yes.
Thursday, Friday, the next week, you have your second portion of it, right? Or is there a second portion?
You have more teams. You have more teams.
So two Thursday, Fridays, and now we've added a Monday game to the playoffs, right? I don't remember which week it is. The first one?
Yeah.
You could, that first weekend of the playoffs and playouts. Sounds so stupid. The first week of the play-ins and playouts. Hear me out. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, NFL playoffs and playouts. You're welcome. NBA, you're welcome. That's 5 days in a row of football, of NFL football in the latter part of the season. And then that week between, you have to that garbage week to wait for the Super Bowl, you get an actual game where teams are playing for that number one draft pick. Let's freaking do it, okay? Gosh, I'm going nuts here. See, Scott, we can solve the world's problems here.
Done.
We can figure it out. Let's take the break here.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.